Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry designed for you to fail. Hey, welcome to Life After MLM's Lula Rich companion series, Lula Bitch, a place you can come to find all the tea and everything that was left on the cutting room floor. You're about to hear the personal accounts of the people affected by the MLM LuLaRoe. These stories are our own personal opinions, accounts, and allegations of our experiences within the cult. Some stories may be triggering. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. We have another LuLaRoe bitch session. We're going to be talking to my friend Katie, who I met after I left LuLaRoe, who actually had a very similar story and ascension into the cult as I did. So I'm going to hand it over to Katie. Please, Katie, introduce yourself and let us know where you were when LuLaRoe came knocking and how they got you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm like a little kind of starstruck. I know. But I'm so excited for you. This has been such a great thing to listen to. And I'm so honored that you asked me to come on and do this with you. But like you said, I joined LuLaRoe around the same time. Because I joined in March of 2017. When did you, or 2016, when did you join?
Exact same time. It was the end of March, 2016.
Yeah. And I think around that time, the queue was like 16 weeks long.
It was, so, I remember being in it for like at least 6, if not 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I didn't onboard till the middle of June.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I joined in February and I onboarded at the end of March. So I was okay. In for about 6 weeks. So you entered the queue right as I was onboarding, but mm-hmm. You didn't actually get your inventory until June.
Yeah.
You, I mean, the foreshadowing here. So
it really is profound looking back on it. So about a week before I was supposed to get the call. And if you don't know what the call is, it's where the onboarding team calls you and you make the biggest purchase you'll ever regret. And so I called my sponsor, and we all know that FOMO, that, oh my God, like I'm going to miss the boat on biggest opportunity of my life. I'm going to make so much money. And like, if I don't do this now, I could have done it. And then I'm going to want to do it in a year. And it's going to be terrible. So I eventually onboarded in the middle of June and I got my inventory. And I remember my first sale, I think I made like $6,000 retail, not profit. Because you have to deduct then everything that was the clothes and what I put in for my startup costs and everything. So, you know, I probably made $2, maybe enough for a Starbucks. I don't know. Dutch Bros. Dutch Bros was my jam in Arizona. Do you guys have Dutch Bros in San Diego?
We do not, but I've heard great things. I think there's some Dutch Bros like farther north, but not down here.
Oh my God. They are the best coffee you've ever had. So right after that, I was hooked. Like the high was just, oh my gosh, I'm posting this. People are commenting sold. This is so easy. I can make money. I can do this. I just have to do it once a week. Yeah. No big deal.
I think a lot of people really don't understand like the amount of turnover in sales and the frenzy that was LuLaRoe at this particular time. It was crazy. Women were fighting with each other over timestamps on saying whether they got it first or not.
Yeah, and especially on the live, because as a consultant, you were seeing sold whoever you saw sold first from was who got it, and everyone would like yell, and it was just madness. It was absolutely crazy. So, and then I went to convention, and I also remember at convention, our mentor at the time had ordered us all shirts. And I remember we had to give her our sizes. And then when it came time to get our shirts, she didn't have all of our sizes. We all got like 2XLs miraculously.
Yeah. I also never got a shirt. I'm pretty sure it's the same exact shirt we're talking about. From Team Awesome Size.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I never got my shirt either. Although a friend of mine who had ordered a size bigger, it didn't fit her because it was still too small. And she gave it to me and she's like, maybe this will fit you. And I put it on and it was still a size bigger than the one that I had ordered and it still didn't fit. So it wasn't a huge deal that I didn't get my shirt, but I mean, I paid $25 for it. So I was out that money too.
I mean, I kind of like when I order a shirt and I get what I've paid for. It's I don't know, call me crazy.
I mean, I feel like if you wanted to order shirts and get what you paid for, you shouldn't have joined LuLaRoe, girl.
Probably. Well, I mean, if I would have known that then, you know. So when I went to convention, I had two girls already in the queue. One was one of my friends from when I was in the Navy. So she was the first person, I think, to show me LuLaRoe. She had like added me to some group on Facebook because in Arizona, nobody was wearing this shit. Like absolutely no one.
So you're telling me people in Arizona don't like to wear leggings during the day?
Absolutely not.
You know, not long sleeve shirts either, or like thick polyester blends?
No. Especially in 120 degrees. It like you, if you maybe are looking for a heat stroke or you're looking to dye by polyester, then I would suggest LuLaRoe in the desert. But if you're looking to stay cool and comfortable, I would maybe suggest Target. Walmart has some really good options that are affordable. Definitely not LuLaRoe. That you can get like two or three tops for what one LuLaRoe price top costs. Love me a good Walmart top, not gonna lie. Or Amazon. Amazon's good.
Yeah, we love Amazon here.
We do love Amazon. So one of the things that I really liked about LuLaRoe, so at the time my husband was working at a nuclear power plant, and I had, before I even joined LuLaRoe, I had a nanny because he was gone for like 120 hours a week at work and I didn't want to raise my son alone. And here was this like culture that was encouraging me to hire people to help me. And it's like, well, this is great because everybody else is calling me, not so nice words for having somebody help me. And so I thought that that was really neat. But then when I went to convention, my mentor kind of was telling people that my nanny was there because I was doing so well with LuLaRoe.
What?
Yeah.
This is a reoccurring theme of like taking things out of context and twisting them to make it look like people are far more successful or LuLaRoe has more to do with those people's needs than actually happening.
And that was one thing that I never did on my social media is and it always felt very like weird to me. I never posted about my life on social media with LuLaRoe because I was like, well, I had this before LuLaRoe, so this just feels very odd. And like, I'm lying to people to say that I have this great life because of this clothing company that didn't give me any of it. So the beach party nightmare, and I don't know if this has been talked about. So there was supposed to be disability buses to go to the beach party and there wasn't.
The ADA nightmare of the beach party and just really the ADA nightmare of the entire event itself was just beyond.
Because I had like emailed and asked for accommodations before I had went to convention, and there was absolutely nothing. And I remember having to fight with somebody to get on what they were calling the disability bus, because the line was so long that I think people weren't getting back to the hotel until like 3 a.m. that morning or that night.
The bus situation, I mean, literally everything about this. And again, it's like, I haven't seen the documentary yet. I know that when people are listening to this, it's already come out and everyone's probably already seen it like 8 times, but I don't know. But the transportation situation to get people, like, I don't understand why we needed to leave Anaheim to go to the beach at all. Why we needed a beach party at all is beyond me. But it was like 1.5 hours there, 2 hours there in a bus, and then the same back. But it's like, because there were buses at the beach, there was all this traffic just with regular beach and normal city traffic, trying to get these beaches back to the freeway from the beach and back to the hotel. It was a nightmare. And then the ADA buses on top of it, on top of all the other regular buses and all the retailers that had been there the year before that were like, we're not taking the bus. We're driving ourselves, which was me. That was me. I'm like, we are driving, get in the van.
Well, so funny story. And at the time I just thought he was a really disgruntled employee, but there was an accountant from LuLaRoe on the bus with me on the way to the beach party. And he was complaining the entire time about how much he hated his job and how dumb they were.
That's amazing.
And like me being me, instead of like telling him that he was stupid, I just kept asking him more questions and telling him I was fascinated by him.
I'm like speechless.
I know. And then he was telling me that like his wife was so stupid and she signed up to be a consultant too.
Man, they got everybody to sign up as a consultant. They were getting people that worked in the warehouse and in the call centers to leave and join LuLaRoe as consultants.
My guess is they probably gave like free inventory or something.
But he was like, yeah, she's so
freaking stupid. And he was just like,
he's like, this is a giant scam. You guys are all getting played. And you're like, oh my God, you're so fascinating. Tell me more.
He's like, well, for one thing, my wife is doing this and it's an absolute train wreck. Like, it's going to ruin our finances. What do you do?
I mean, what about the ADA accommodations at the beach itself?
So that was also another really big nightmare. So while I was at the beach, I ended up finding like a teenager that snuck onto the beach, and like, I guess security was chasing them instead of trying to like talk to them. And so I like stopped and talked to her, and she was like terrified because there were so many people on the beach that she didn't have cell phone service. And so I was like, well, do you live close? Like, what's going on? And she's like, well, me and my friend just snuck over here because we saw this private concert and it looked really cool. And it's like, yeah, I get it. Cause she was probably like 15 or 16. And so I ended up having to walk her back over to her house. Cause you remember like those houses, like right on the beach.
Yeah.
Like right behind the stage. That's where she lived.
Oh, wow.
And security had spent like an hour trying to chase them instead of just like stopping and saying, you know, what's going on. And like being grown about it.
Yeah. No, their security is a little like bullish. In fact, when we were filming the Vice documentary, we showed up at home office because we were trying to get like an interview with somebody, and no one came out except their security. And their security basically was like, you can't film here. Get off the premises, and like chased us away.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was very Scientology-esque.
These kids were terrified. And they thought that they were going to get in so much trouble. But no, with the ADA thing, like, because I would have assumed that, you know, ADA buses, you're going to get to the beach and then you're going to get to go get in line and get food. And basically it was like, okay, you're here at the beach now, like deal with everybody else.
I don't know how they expected to get wheelchairs on sand.
Yeah, no, and that was the other thing too, is they didn't have any of like the sand wheelchairs, because most beaches do have like the sand wheelchairs.
Yeah, they didn't have any of that. They were just like, here's this bamboo mat we stretched out.
And these beautiful sand castles and no food.
Grab a s'more on your way out if you can find one.
It's really dark.
Yeah, there was like fire pits littered the beach. Like there, I mean, I could be confusing multiple beach parties together, but both of them were shit shows.
No, I don't think they actually paid for any extra lighting so we could leave and actually see on our way out.
No, it was very dark both times. And it was like just the city lights in a beach parking lot with these massive buses that pretty much blocked all of the light because they were so tall.
But so not it was enough very buses dark. For everybody.
Right. But not enough buses for everybody. I mean, people were, I've been seeing the comments on my TikTok because we've been talking about the beach party and people were like, my husband and I just like started walking along the road away, like towards the freeway until like 11 o'clock. And then like we got in a taxi and took a taxi back to the hotel. I'm like, you just were walking through a town you're not from toward what you hoped was the freeway.
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
People were like, yeah, we were taking Ubers. We were like getting rides from people we didn't know. We were walking down the street and other retailers would pull over and say, hey, do you need a ride back to the hotel? Getting rides with like complete stranger LuLaRoe consultants. Although I feel like it's pretty safe because a kidnapper would not most likely be wearing LuLaRoe.
Kidnapper couldn't wear that much polyester.
So I feel like getting in a car full of LuLaRoe consultants as a LuLaRoe consultant is a pretty safe bet. But still, the fact that they even had to do that is just like, it's absurd.
I don't know. There's a few that I don't know I would trust in a car.
I've been in their car. It was mostly fine. Only a couple narrow misses.
And how much debt are you in now?
Not a ton. Not a ton.
See, this is why we don't get in cars with people that wear polyester.
You make an excellent point, Katie.
So I went home and I immediately convinced two of my customers to sign up. Yep.
You come home from the cold convention and you were like, I am invigorated. Let's do this, boss babes.
Yep. Well, basically, they like came to me and were like, can you be my sponsor? I was like, I guess.
You know what? Like, I feel like that exact interaction right there is how most people join LuLaRoe. It was like, hey, what's up? You, what's up with these like leggings you're selling on Facebook? Oh, yeah, no, it's called LuLaRoe. Oh my God. Can I sign up under you? You're like, okay. Like, that's literally how every single person that joined my team that wasn't placed there by someone on my upline joined LuLaRoe.
Well, and then that was the other thing too, is when I originally joined is I wanted to be under the person that was the mentor. And then she dropped me down two levels below her to pad her numbers.
Okay, let's talk about this because that is the same person that did that to me. We have the same upline. Katie and I had the same mega upline. We're going to call her the mega hun at the top of this upline. There are several mega huns above her, but we're going to talk about this specific mega hun. So
I think there's only like two more above her though.
They're still in? Because there was like four or five, but I don't know. I don't know everybody's statuses anymore.
I don't either.
So the mega hun that we're talking about is the one that was selling the t-shirts. And she had a very popular YouTube channel in 2015. Where she was like selling LuLaRoe or like talking about the LuLaRoe business. And it was literally brilliant. It was a hun sales funnel. Absolutely 100%. She made it look like it was the most incredible opportunity that you could ever have. Look how much fun I'm having. This is my garage. Look how much fun this is. Check out the parties, join the groups, join the club. Watch how fast it's like sells. You guys, you're not going to want to miss this. I mean, there was so much FOMO and frenzy. I thought, she's kind of quirky like me. She's kind of fun.
She gets me.
She makes inappropriate jokes and does funny voices too. Like, that's I was like, okay, all right. Like I could vibe with someone like this. Like she seems like her M&M candy coating seems pretty okay. So like you and I both do the same thing. We reach out to her and tell me what happened, Katie.
She's like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to send you some information. And then the link she sends me is for somebody that's underneath her. And once I had signed up, she let me know that this was my new sponsor.
Similar story for me. I reached out to her. She's like, oh my God, where do you live? I said, oh, I'm in San Diego. And she's like, oh my God, I have a girl in San Diego. You need to meet her. And she like did a three-way chat really quick. This is this person. I said, oh, hey. And she's like, hey, let's do this. And we set up a shopping appointment. And I went to this girl's house. I was probably like 25 minutes away and had a shopping appointment and basically like a little mini why you should join LuLaRoe. And then she's like, mm-hmm. There's an Inspire tour coming up like next week. I was going to go to, do you want to come with me? Like I'll drive, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And I went.
So were you like, inspired?
I hadn't signed up at that point, but she like this girl, the Mega Hun was just like, where are you from? San Diego. Boop. I found out later, like you found out later that you were placed strategically under somebody else in order to build the strongest pyramid possible for the Mega Hun. Because the Mega Hun's intention was to hit mentor, which is the highest rank in LuLaRoe, as fast as possible. I know this because she told me this personally many times, that she wanted to be a mentor, that she was working toward mentor, that one day I would be mentor too. And I will tell you this, she can thank me because I became the third trainer on my uplines. So it bumped her up to coach. And then that was her third coach. And it bumped the Mega Hun up to mentor. And I got a pair of gold teak slip-on shoes as a thank you.
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. But if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else. So I was stacked. You were stacked. Did she ever stack people underneath you as well?
No.
Okay. Because she continued that trend with me and stacked me to get me to where I was so that that rank chain happened so that she hit mentor. It was all very strategic.
Once she was mentor, she pretty much only focused on people that like her besties, on stacking them. And I didn't fit that bill because I wasn't willing to lie about my lifestyle for her.
Yeah, there were a lot of people out there that were making a lot of really crazy claims about things.
Yeah, and it didn't feel honest to me. And so I didn't feel like that was going to be the way it went. Like, I don't know if you remember that the pay to have lunch with Deanne, and I think it was like $125 a plate or some stupid like that. And I look back and it's like, why did we pay to do things like that?
Yeah, no, I went to that. It was a lunch. I think it was at Inspire Tour, and you could pay that. The one you're talking about could be different. The one that I went to was at an Inspire Tour, and you could pay $50 to have like a catered lunch and Q&A with Deanne. And it was like the first 100 people. And I did it. I went. It was ridiculous. I can't believe I did it. But yeah. Deanne sat next to me and she was like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. You know, I'm like, hey. And that was the same event where she told me that I needed to get a new husband. The same exact event.
Yeah. So
I look back on this, Katie. I look back on this and I'm like, what? Where were our minds and our heads at?
Yeah. So at that event, when I went to the lunch at an Inspire in Phoenix, my son used to drag a cart. He still has it. It's probably the only piece of LuLaRoe that's still in our house because it's a 100% cotton one. But he drags this Carly around like it's a blanket. It was one of the first times he had gotten it because obviously this would have been like August of 2016. And it was like, okay, well, I mean, that's my son. And if he wants a fucking dress, like he can have it. And again, now looking back at it, was it like a homophobic thing? But like, it could have been.
Yeah, I mean, they always said questionable things anyway. So like, I wouldn't put it past anything they say not to have some sort of like, you know, innuendo of some way that's like cutting or sort of keeps you in your place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was funny. My friend and I had gone to something the other day and somebody like tried to shush me. And I said, my response was, as I was saying, and I continued to talk. And she's like, maybe he doesn't like you. And I said, that can't possibly be it. I was like, that's a him problem, not a me problem.
You're like, oh well.
Oh well. So we're in like August of 2016. So I don't think I was seen as a very good leader from like the higher up leaders because I wouldn't flaunt my lifestyle and I didn't really do that with everything that we had. And I also mostly did vendor events. So where I had a spot at the farmer's market that I would like regularly attend as a LuLaRoe consultant. And that's where I really kind of found my niche because consultants weren't doing that yet. And the late 2016, early 2017. And once people saw me doing it, they were like, yeah, this is a really good idea. So I don't know if you remember, but I used to do like a lot of the trainings on that for our Mega Hunts team.
My sister actually ended up getting a booth at a local street fair, like once a week down here too for her stuff. And I would join her sometimes. There was a lot of MLMs at those events. I don't think those events should really invite MLMs, but that's a whole nother podcast for a completely different day.
I completely agree.
I definitely remember different trainings about running vendor events and craft fairs and things like that.
Yeah, no. So that was one thing that I kind of focused on because towards the end of 2016, I think is when it really started to kind of shift where it wasn't a once a week pop-up. You had to do a live sale every day and then an album sale once a week. And it became a lot more than a part-time work for full-time pay. And one of the really big things, so I had a girl getting ready to onboard at the end of October. So she was wanting Halloween leggings and she had asked me, hey, can you order for me and I'll pay you for them? And I said, of course I'll do that. But I just need to let you know this right now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them. So she made an announcement into her group that I was going to order. Her sponsor was ordering her Halloween leggings. Get excited. And as you know, with LuLaRoe, that didn't happen. I got
That's a big no-no. You're not supposed to post that you have stuff when you don't have it. Because then what happens is LuLaRoe says, well, that's your fault. You shouldn't have done that. Not sorry we didn't have enough and didn't anticipate that these would actually sell out immediately and we should have probably made more. But or that's we gave your them all fault to, for expecting that we could be competent in our business once again.
Or we gave them all to the higher ups, you know?
Yeah, like here. Oh, like most of it was set aside for these people.
So that happened. And then she ended up getting mad at me because she felt that I lied to her when I said that I would try. And I get it that it does hurt her business that she doesn't have those, but I didn't have them for my business either.
National Voter Registration Day is kind of a big deal. It's a yearly, nonpartisan holiday celebrating our democracy. And it's all about getting as many people as possible to, that's right, register to vote. So why is that important right now? Well, sure, local and state elections may not get as much attention as the midterms or the presidential elections, but they're still a super important way for you to use your voice to make an impact and help shape the future of your community. And one of the best parts, registering to vote is really easy thanks to organizations like Headcount. Get registered there in minutes, and you won't have to worry about registration deadlines in your state. And then you'll be ready to participate in all of your upcoming local, state, and federal elections. That really is a big deal. Head to headcount.org headcount.org/Spotify now to register. That's headcount.org/Spotify. See you at the polls.
And so, it's a super common MLM tactic. It doesn't just happen in LuLaRoe. It happens all across the board in all of these MLMs, you know, like this scarcity of things selling out and consultants not being able to get it. It's super common.
Yeah, I just think with LuLaRoe, though, it's because the consultants are required to carry the product, where most MLMs are, you're getting to order, you're having your customers order directly from the website. And then it's the MLM is the warehouse, where LuLaRoe, as we all know, is they like to front load the inventory on the consultants, which is totally illegal.
Right. And this is how the other MLMs get away with not front loading, but actually front loading. They'll do, you know, like these limited edition releases like LuLaRoe does, right? Like, oh, Halloween, but it'll be like a limited edition flavor or a limited edition color of, you know, these drink mixes or these ketones or these food savers, but it's in tropical pink for summer, whatever, you know, so these limited edition, and they create internal FOMO, just like in LuLaRoe, like, ooh, you got to get those for your customers because they're going to sell it on the website. You got to buy them. You got to buy them from the website. You got to get like 6, 10, 12 of them because they're going to sell out and you're not going to have them for your customer. So everybody inside, and this happens at Paparazzi. We talked about it in an episode about how all of the consultants will go to the website and buy it at their price and basically hold the inventory. And then it's sold out on the website. And you have to find a consultant, and the consultants are just sitting on it in their garage, the same way with LuLaRoe. But these MLMs are slightly elevated from LuLaRoe, and they've like done this, been there, done that approach. And they're like amateurs. You have to do it this way. You know, you need to have a website so it looks more legitimate. You can't just encourage this front loading. You need a website too. I think they have websites now. I'm not sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've not bought LuLaRoe since I stopped selling.
So it's like the more that I started researching into the things that like LuLaRoe did, the more I started to see that it was like in every single MLM, but like LuLaRoe just was so blatant with it. And these other MLMs are just a little bit smarter and they've learned to hide it to appease the FTC just slightly more.
They're just a baby MLM.
Yeah, they're just a baby company. You guys have some grace for them. They're still figuring out how to scam the most effective way.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault they keep getting caught, guys. Okay. Like these people that left, they're like bitter and haters, but they're super duper smart. And they like keep figuring everything out and like exposing it.
Well, first it was the credit card company's fault.
It's also been UPS's fault.
It was then UPS's fault. Then it was their merchandiser's fault.
I believe there were a couple of hurricanes that were also at fault at one point.
Oh yeah, can't forget the hurricanes. And then it was customs.
Yes, and then one time it was actually the size of people's asses that was at fault, because it couldn't have been the fabric that was ripping. It had to have been the massiveness of the size you are. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, what? No.
So we'll just make leggings another size bigger. So that way we can tell people that they really did buy the wrong size.
I mean, absolutely. Right. I'm like, oh, it wasn't the fabric that was littered with holes that literally like you could look at the wrong way, like give it the stink eye and it would just shred across like in a line, like a nylon. Like, do you want to destroy my sweater? Like, just.
I know.
I mean, it's just like insanity how these would just, the rip would just spread. I had a woman who was a teacher and was a customer. I mean, and a friend from high school who bought so many leggings. And she texted me one day. She's like, I'm on lunch break right now. And I stood up and I felt a breeze. And the backs of my leggings, like my ass cheeks are hanging out both sides. She's like, what do I do? And I was like, she's like, thank God I'm wearing a Carly over. I said, girl, just make it to the end of the day. Like, it just.
I lied to so many people about why their leggings ripped. And I feel so if you are listening and I ever said something about your leggings or made some weird lame ass excuse. I am sorry. Because that's what they basically, they told us. They were like, you know, if anyone comes to you with broken leggings, just make some lame excuse and replace them, which is basically what I did. People would come to me with the ripped leggings and I'd be like, oh yeah, well, it's this, that, and the other thing. And it might've been this. And I'm really sorry about that. So let's just come in here and grab you a new print. And
or like my favorite was like Patrick would say like fashion industry standard is like 5% defects. And here at LuLaRoe, we're at 3.7. So we're far below the fashion industry standard for defects. And I'm just like, I don't feel like those numbers are accurate at all.
I mean,
I just like made those up, but it was something along those lines.
So what I'm guessing though is that, so here would be my guess is because in the factory, they have to give them defects, like of what they're making inside. Like the defect percentage isn't coming from their consultants. So that number probably, and I know you do a lot of research on this, but my guess is that 3.7 number was coming from the factory. So then you have to add on whatever damaged after.
Right. Like the factory's like, wow, we get a lot of damages in here. You guys are like, it's like 3.7% of everything. It's like a lot. And they're like, that's five below industry standard. Don't even worry about it.
Fine.
Like we say, if we don't laugh, we cry. So we're trying to talk about serious things, but we are moving through our trauma with humor, and self-deprecating humor helps in these instances.
January, I found out I was pregnant of like 2017. I found out I was pregnant. And then in February, they found out they were changing the bonus structure, but I don't think they had done it yet.
But I remember being in leadership and them telling us, we're going to change the bonus structure coming up soon. So just sort of like start preparing. These are what the new ramifications are going to be back in like January, February. I remember doing that, but it didn't change until July. When I asked people and they're like, I don't remember doing that. And I'm like, yes, it was in January. And you just said that. So I'm not crazy. Thank you.
You're not
sorry.
Crazy.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was a gaslighting moment that I've been told so many times that that didn't happen. And like, you just, thank you. That's all.
No. So this is why that's part of my story. So in February, I officially made trainer. And so I remember placing a really big inventory order to make sure that I could get my bonus check because I knew that it would be really big because I had onboarded my 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th girl.
Yeah. Wow.
So we're talking a several $1,000 bonus check and I'm pregnant right now with a baby coming. So like I could use several $1,000. But I probably spent it on inventory. So, you know, was it really worth it? Probably not. March came, I didn't sell anything. Cause I just like, was like, you know what? I fucking hate this. There were so many problems and everything. Like it was seemed like everybody was complaining. I think that's around the time Defective originally started. I also, that was also at the time where like we had a really big falling out with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. So I like, it was just kind of a breaking point for me and LuLaRoe.
Now,
so I had spent,
is your sister-in-law still in LuLaRoe?
I don't think so. As far as I know, she's out, but we haven't spoken. Since December 2017. I can take a lot and I obviously take responsibility because I did ask her to join LuLaRoe with me, but I also don't think that I deserve to like be hated for the rest of my life.
I mean, I agree. Taking personal accountability for your part in this is really big. You know, it took me a long time to do that. It's something that I've worked through for a long time. I know that you've worked through it for a long time. And I know there's other people out there probably listening who are still working through that personal accountability. And I like to remind people, you and the listeners, that everybody in an MLM is a perpetrator and a victim at some point. There's just varying percentages and degrees of which you are.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the higher up you go, obviously, the more of a perpetrator and less of a victim you become, because you start to see what's actually happening. But, you know, it's hard. It's really hard processing through, like, it was a frenzy and it felt good. And we just wanted everybody to be a part of it. And we didn't understand the ramifications. And I think this film probably is helping a lot of people realize, like, oh my God, like, okay, it wasn't just me. Yeah. It was everybody. I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who suffered. I'm not the only victim. I'm not the only one who was quote unquote ruined. And there is a community of people out there that have been fighting against this and have been trying to get the word out and have been working their asses off for years.
Yeah.
You know? And you're included in that as well. You've been speaking out about what happened to you and talking about it for as long as I can remember.
Yeah. And it's just, I obviously haven't been as vocal as you.
I'm a little crazy like that though, you know?
I know. And that's why we love you so much. But then April rolled around and Mark made his pig comment about people talking poorly about LuLaRoe. And that was at the point where I decided I was completely done. And at that point, I had my ticket to Train the Trainers in May, because that was the next Train the Trainers. And that was the big Disney launch. And so I remember because my best friend's wedding was coming up at the end of May also. And so I told everybody that the doctor said I couldn't travel because of my pregnancy, because I was extremely high risk. And it just made it a lot easier for me to stay home and not go to that, because I wasn't ready to tell anybody that I was leaving the company. And I remember watching the Disney LuLaRoe announcement at Disney on my phone, kind of a little bit of a FOMO moment, and thinking I'm definitely making the right decision here, because while they were there, somebody had contacted me asking to buy my team. And my response to her was, well, one, how do you expect to get the inventory? Because I'm not going to ship it to you for free. You're going to have to either pay to get it or come get it, like, or drive down here to get it. And two, how much are you willing to spend on new inventory? Because I do have a lot of inventory and I'm willing to sell down as much as I can to get to a number that you're comfortable with. And the girl told me I can do $10,000. And I said, okay. And at that point, I just started doing clearance sales.
Was that a number that you were like expecting, or was that higher, or was that lower? Did you feel that was fair?
I honestly had no idea what to expect. And even to this day, like, I tell people how much I got for my team from LuLaRoe and their jaws kind of just drop, because I think I'm one of the only ones that got like actual money for my team. I know a lot of people that just signed off their teams to somebody else, or like you, where you got, have you said how much you got for your team on your podcast?
I think, I don't know, maybe I've said it multiple places, but yeah, I sold my team. I got $500. Like, it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was literally for like the inconvenience of them having to contact me and like make me sign a bunch of stuff. They're like, we'll kick you down some cash. It helped them more than it helped me.
Yeah, no, it definitely helped them more than it helped you. But if they were taking over my team and getting my team bonus checks, I wanted them to take all my inventory.
Right. And they didn't take any of my inventory. So the $10,000 figure like makes sense for you, because they did not take my inventory. Just the team replacement of like the team head was all that we did.
Yeah. So that if they were taking my team, I made them take the inventory. That was the terms of my negotiation. And I think I probably should have been more vocal on that, because I think it probably would have helped more people negotiate the sale of their team.
Well, maybe people listening.
Yeah.
I don't think a LuLaRoe team is worth that much now, but maybe people listening on and other MLMs that are looking for a way out and they have a big team and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate the fact that you're like selling teams, but unfortunately that's part of this industry. And it could be the difference between getting out faster and helping yourself out faster than not.
When we sold, I made her bring me a certified check or cashier's check or something that was certified funds. And my husband, so we lived in Arizona at the time, and convention was in Anaheim, or her husband and my husband drove halfway and met. Wow. And then exchanged inventory and for the check.
It's like, and then, it seems like such a shady, like, backwoods deal. Like, we're going to drive 2.5 hours east and then trade the money for the boxes of polyester.
So you live in California. So they like met in like Palmdale or somewhere like that.
Okay.
Like, in the middle of nowhere.
That makes it even better. It is the middle of nowhere. It's like an episode of Breaking Bad, but in California, in the desert.
For polyester.
For stinky polyester.
It was probably molded.
Did you get any of the dead fart leggings or the stinky moldy stuff?
As soon as I did, I would throw it in the trash.
So you did then? You did get it?
Of course I did. But as soon as I would get it, I would write it in my tax write-off book, and it would go in the trash. I couldn't like put that in my home. It was too much.
All right. I need you to describe them, because I've described them as many different things, but you are also someone that has smelled them. So I'm going to have you describe them to give people a different perspective.
So if you were to forget a baby diaper somewhere and then find it, that is what they smelled like. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah. It reminds me of the scene in Anchorman when they're talking about the Sex Panther cologne. Like, LuLaRoe leggings smell like Sex Panther. Like, that's what it's
repulsive. When I would go on deployment, that would be like my movie I would watch. It would make me like feel like I was home since I was stationed in San Diego. I was like, oh, Anchorman, you make me feel like I'm home. Where's Ron Burgundy when I need him?
Were you stationed here on a ship?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service. Coronado.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's probably a big other reason too, why like I only lasted almost a year, because it was like, I cannot do this. Like, these people are mad. And in the military, like, they would have been overthrown way like before it ever got this bad.
It's like the king and queen of hearts are running a leggings company.
I know. And like, we're all in Alice in Wonderland.
And we're like, all the decks of cards are like, we're painting the roses red. We're painting the roses red. Like, please don't kill us. Please don't kill us.
Do you remember when she would like get on TikTok and just have her screaming matches? And then on Instagram.
On Instagram Live.
Yeah.
My favorite ones are the ones where she's like driving in the car and she's like singing and she's like all about like women empowerment. Those are my favorite ones. She's always like, yeah, yeah. Like, it's just great. Like, it really is. I just like, wow, I dodged a bullet. I mean, I got grazed by the bullet pretty badly, but I still got out of most of the bullet's path.
So when did you leave?
I left in September of 2017. So right after convention, I came back. Okay. I gave it like one more month of like raring to go with like the new stuff from convention. And I realized that I was like living the definition of insanity. And then I'd reach out to ask questions and I'd be gaslit. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And then I joined Defective, which was defectors support was used to be called Defective. I joined Defective and I saw all the theft, like the album of all the stolen prints. And I was still in. I remember joining. This is funny. I remember joining and it said LuLaRoe trainer in my bio, and Heather kicked me out and blocked me. And I was like, what the heck? And so I was like, I can't join the group anymore. I can't even find it. And they're like, oh, you got blocked. Probably because it says you're a trainer in your profile. So I messaged Heather and I was like, hey girl, like I'm out. I'm just not out yet. I need answers, please. And I said, I know it says I'm a trainer. I am, but I'm on my way out. And she goes, okay. And she unblocked me and let me in. And I think I was in there for about a week before I spilled the tea. And I was like, yep, that happened. Corroborating. Yes, that happened. Yes, that happened. And I remember going, I'm a trainer. I was about to hit coach. All of this is actually happening. This is incredible that you guys are finding all of this, because I've experienced all of this. And these are the answers I've been looking for months and months and months. Pretty much all of 2017, I felt like I was being lied to and gaslit and like made to believe things that were not true and were not happening and like hushed and love bombed and like, oh, are you kind of like, you're feeling kind of like, oh, I get it. Like you're so stressed. Here's a free cruise. Oh my God, they gave me a free cruise. It's so wonderful. You know, and then I stay 4 more months because I'm on the dopamine high of going on a free cruise that wasn't free and cost me $3,000. But yeah, I mean, it was just like the culmination of everything I had experienced all of 2017, like the fruition of all of the evidence and truth and answers within 1 week of being in that Facebook group and going. And I was like, oh my God, I am in the middle. I am the Oreo cream of this like scam sandwich. I'm in the middle. Like I'm a little higher than these guys and a little lower than the tops, but I'm high enough up that the tops and I are friends and I've seen a lot of stuff. Yeah. And I'm seeing the repercussions of how that stuff is happening to the people below me. And I just couldn't stay quiet any longer.
Yeah. That's kind of how I felt. Cause I was watching people like go into significant debt over this. And I was like, I can't be a part of this. Because after I left and sold my team, and once the check cleared, I told my whole team, because at the time it was 100% buyback. I was like, send all your stuff back, 100% buyback, do it.
They shut it down 3 hours after I announced I was leaving LuLaRoe, because I left the weekend before. A couple of girls on my team that I just loved so much and still love so much to this day. They were like, they had all left. They were all on my team and they had all left. And they're like, can we have like a wine and cheese night and like just hang out? And I was like, sure. So I went over there and they were all like, girl, like what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's really weird. And I think I sort of decided that night that I was done, but I know that I needed to sort of, you know, I needed just a little bit more time to just really solidify. And I remember after talking with my upline and the way that she was really forcing me to stay, even though I was telling her it was bad for me and it was bad for my family, it was bad for my mental health, and how she was like, we need you to just stay for like till Christmas. Like we need to just stay. Like it was like a decision together, you know, and not the respect of like, this isn't working for me and my family anymore. It was about her and her pyramid and her upline. And that also like was just like, I'm done. Like she's denying the facts that I have. She's still gaslighting me. She's still pretending that none of this is happening, or she just really genuinely doesn't know. And like, that's on her and not me, but I couldn't stand back and continue to live this life and pretend that everybody else wasn't suffering. I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, I was like, how are we talking about me? We're supposed to be talking about you, Katie.
No, I totally.
So no. Your breaking point was just the same sort of thing. Like you seeing everything happening. It just is a total circus.
Well, it was a total circus. My sister-in-law was on my team, and this had put a major strain on the relationship, and no matter what I was doing, it just wasn't getting better. And the really sad thing about that is my husband is actually a twin, and so it has ruined his relationship with his twin right now, which I'm hoping that gets better, but it really put it like in a really bad situation.
Family drama is difficult. And then you add like the stress of like feeling responsible for getting roped into something and roping others into it that currently and still affect, you know, that still affect their lives. It's gotta be hard. And I hope that people see this and that the people that are or were negatively affected by LuLaRoe or people that were in LuLaRoe see this documentary and sort of understand that it was a lot deeper than just mom selling leggings on Facebook. And there's a lot of psychological manipulation and gaslighting and indoctrination and like manipulating the different chemicals that we have, like dopamine and serotonin and things like that. It was just, it was always a scam.
Well, and that's one thing too, is I think they really prayed like, oh, well, you need to get all of your family involved in this too. And see, look at our family. It works so great at doing this. So it'll be great for your family too. And then we would get our families involved in it. And if it didn't work out, it was obviously your fault because you brought your family into it. And it wasn't that it was your fault. And it wasn't that it was your family member's fault. It was really, it was LuLaRoe's fault. And I think that's one thing that's really important for people to understand in all of this, that even though that it is whoever brought you in, yes, they do hold some blame for bringing it to you. And I know that it hurts that they did that to you, that they were also duped by LuLaRoe. And it is good to find forgiveness in your heart for the people that also were victims.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and share with all of your anti-MLM friends as well. See you next time.